Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach Gus Bradley as we'll take a look back at the Bills game and look ahead at the Denver Broncos game. We might even talk a little bit of football about the game tonight. You watch Thursday night football at all?
You try to, especially, you know, with Minnesota being an opponent now, majority of our coaches want. And it will be on in our offices and, you know, we might take a flash and take a peek at it. But, you know, we don't get a chance to watch the whole game.
Do, and kind of before we go back, Thursday night games, when you guys look at film, you have film, which you do, you know, the all 22, and then you got the end zone shot. Do you guys record television versions of the games to maybe pick up sounds, something maybe you didn't know?
We do. We get, you know, a copy of our games, the TV copies of it.
Is that distributed by the league?
Yeah. So we get a chance to, you go back and you try, you know, I know in Seattle we did that quite a bit. Here we do as well. If there's a cadence to try to get a feel for it. Some teams believe in it. Other teams won't spend the time on it. But, yeah, you get TV copies just to look at different views and maybe get a feel for some things that don't show up in the regular video.
Because by Thursday, correct me if I'm wrong, the majority of the game plan is in, right?
Yeah. By the way we do it now, by Thursday, you know, probably about 6:30, 7 o'clock, and the majority of it's done. And then it's just prep on getting ready for the next day practice, where primarily Monday and Tuesday, those are the long nights for us.
The what they call the graveyard shift nights.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look back at the Bills game. And, you know, I rarely kind of harp on officiating, but, boy, there were three calls in that game that were very questionable. The Telvin Smith fumble, the LeSean McCoy going out of bounds at the end of the game where they continued to wind the clock, and then there was the what I thought was a classic case of interference when Allen Robinson was held on a third and four. And – definitely could have impacted the game, and I know that after the game you made some comments about it, and you did good. You didn't say anything that you could have gotten fined, but did you send those plays out to the league, and did you get a response from Dean Blandino?
Well, I think you're right, Lux. It's hard because it's such an emotional time after the game, and you feel like sometimes there's calls that they don't go your way that impact the game. And then you get a chance to kind of, you know, collect your thoughts a little bit. And then you come to realize, you know what, you've got to be able to overcome those calls. You've got to be able to make plays during the game that don't put you in those situations. So it comes back with cooler heads prevail a little bit. But you do. You do send plays in. Sometimes we'll send plays in just to get, you know, from Dean's interpretation, just to help us teach things better to our players. And then there's other ones that you call and say, hey, was this a missed call? How did you see it? And then they'll always give you a response back.
Okay, well, did you get a response?
yeah, Dean is really good at
all
that.
The heck with the teaching moments on these ones now. I mean, this is...
Yeah, I mean, he gives responses back. And, you know, I think, you know, we're not really at liberty to talk about the, you know, their responses back to some of our questions. But, you know, you just move on.
Well, the one impressive thing with your football team, Buffalo Bills, I mean, some really good football players on defense and offensively, you guys have been turning the ball over a little bit. And this game, you had none.
Well, you know what? I think it started off, we really got the run game going. I thought with Chris Ivory, the offensive line, tight ends, they did a really good job. And you could feel that part of it. Went down their first drive and scored. And I felt like really set the tone for us offensively. And we felt like we could run the ball, at least attempt to run it, with a variety of backs. And we stuck to it, got a lot of rushes. And it took pressure off our offense to feel like they had to make plays through the passing game. And it kind of set up some opportunities. And with that, we had no turnovers, which is always a good thing.
Well, and Blake was a part of that, running the football. He had a career high, I think, 8 rushes for 81 yards. I mean, that helps.
It does. You know what? And I thought, you know, maybe the stats didn't show up, but I thought Blake played one of his better games, his decision-making. And we just looked at it as far as a rhythm. You know, and it felt like he went back there, he was in rhythm, and when he was supposed to run, he ran. And I just overall, I thought he made really good decisions. Threw away, there was a screen, he threw it away, good decisions. So I just felt like overall played really well.
Third down offensive defensively for you guys, 8 of 15. That's 53%. If you can do that every game, that's a winning margin.
Yeah, it really is. You know, offensively, just our yards per game, our rushing stats, our third down percentage, our red zone, the last four games has really improved. And give credit to Nathaniel, the offensive staff, and the offensive players. You know, I think there's a plan, and they're following it, and, you know, they're really believing in it.
Red zone, also positive in that game, 2 for 2, and the number is under Nathaniel Hackett, 8 of 10 touchdowns since he's taken over. That's pretty good.
It is, and we just need to continue that. I think continue to make plays. The points are starting to come a little bit. I think we have the ability to put even more up. But each game is different. It's a great challenge that we have this weekend.
Well, there was a point in the ball game, and I'm going to be showing this on Jaguars.com. You know, Chris Ivory goes down, he's got the hamstring. And it's very clear that T.J. Yeldon coming into the game was a question mark. And you guys worked him out before the game. He was able to go. He had the ankle taped heavily. And so he has to kind of take the reins, so to speak. And there was a 3rd and 5 that you guys decided to run the football. And I'm showing this on Film Room Friday on Jaguars.com just because – what a great effort by T.J. Yeldon. Here he is. It's a 3rd and 5. First of all, the confidence in Nathaniel Hackett to call it, knowing that he's dinged up a little bit. But the effort that he gave on that 3rd and 5, I thought was it was beautiful.
Well, I mean, that was what became very obvious was T.J.'s effort. But across the whole offensive line, there's going to be strain involved in plays like that. And, the players will make coaches look like they made good decisions, and it'll be vice versa. But that
was
because
if you didn't make it, I would be going, what are you doing,
right,
guys?
You know,
throw the ball.
But, everybody bought into it. T.J. did a great job. He willed it. He made sure that we got the first down, and give credit to T.J. and the offensive line.
Well, going into that game, we had talked about it for the pregame. They've got a great player up front, Kyle Williams, another great player, Marcel Darius. You've got a new starter at left guard in Reed. And Chris got his hands full a little bit early on. You know, Kyle Williams was giving him fits. But, you know, he kind of settled down. And I thought he played a good game for the first one out of the box for him.
Well, I think so. And, you know, when you look at it, too, when you have over 100 yards rushing like we did, and, over 150, guys did a good job up front. And we protected really well. We've given up, 6 sacks in the last 4 games. So that number's improving. So, like I said, give credit to them. Chris Reed had a difficult assignment to come into a game like that. And I thought he fared pretty well.
Well, and the other guy, Marcel Darius, who when he's had his game, I don't know if there's a better defensive tackle in football. Brandon Linder had his hands full.
Well, I mean, the one sack, you saw it was kind of a delay, and he's crafty, and made a good move on it. But Brandon Linder's also, he's the leader of our front, done a good job. I mean, there's two pretty talented players going head-to-head, and each had their times where they won some battles.
And Allen Robinson, the one play, and they were taking their best corner, and they were mirroring him, following him, and that was Stephon Gilmore, former first-round pick from South Carolina. Followed him all around. He ended up with 2 catches for 24 yards. Not the numbers that he wants. He wants to be a bigger part of it. But, look, sometimes those games happen for a big-time wide receiver.
It does. And, he made some big plays, Allen Robinson. This one was out of bounds, after they took a look at it. But, he's going to be a guy that we go to. I think, it's just a little bit more of an emphasis to run the ball. But, obviously, he's a guy that's a big playmaker for us. We've got to get the ball in his hands because good things happen.
The tight ends going to that game, Mercedes went to IR, Julius Thomas unavailable, and you've got some young guys playing, Ben Koyak, Neil Sterling, and a guy that you brought up from the practice squad, Alex Ellis. And I thought, in particular, I thought Neil Sterling did a really good job. The 2 balls that he caught were not easy catches.
No, they weren't. In critical times, too, he had a 7 cut that he flattened out, made a really good play, held the ball away from him so he saw his strength in his hands. But, no, he's a converted wide receiver playing tight end.
People forget that.
Right. So you know that he's got the skill set, especially out in the open field. And he can be a tough matchup. But Ben Koyak has stepped up. Obviously, Mercedes Lewis is a big part of it. But Mercedes is kind of taking him under his wing and helping him along. And Ben has responded well.
A lot of concern kind of leading into that game because, Rex Ryan's defense has a, reputation, being very tough on opposing quarterbacks, does things that are very out of the box scheme-wise. Sometimes it's not exactly solid fundamentally, but he's willing to take those chances to play the style of defense that he wants to play. And after you face an opponent like that, when you go back and, you know, you're watching your own team, do you also watch the opponent go, you know what, this is what we thought, or this is something that we learned about a Rex Ryan defense that maybe we didn't know?
I think you always learn something, but I think the overall philosophy is what we thought. You know, he's going to be creative. He's going to be unconventional. We're going to see multiple looks in different situations. He would love to get us to third and long situations. I think all those things really came into play. So, but you're always going to learn, you know, about a coordinator and how he likes to see the game go and the style of defense that he likes to play.
Boy, they're certainly very colorful people. I saw you talking to Rex before the game. He seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah, he is. You know, before the game, he had conversations with them, and you know, there's some similarities as far as, you know, people that we knew, and he was in Minnesota for a couple of years, so we talked about that. But he's a good coach. He does a good job with his players and his team, and you know, he's seen a lot of football. So, but you know, pretty strong personalities on both sides, you know. And then afterwards, we kind of broke away, and you saw it after the game.
Time to be competitors.
Pretty quick. Yeah, that's right.
So, do you know Rob Ryan at all?
Yeah, you know what? I met him before the game and just visited him with him quickly or briefly. So, you know, like I said, they've got quite a reputation as far as being in the league for quite a while and understanding the game. And, you know, they've had good success.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Jaguars defensively and the performance that they had against the Buffalo Bills right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Amazing Black Friday offers are here during the Ford year-end event. Get $1,000 Black Friday bonus cash on top of all other great offers. Or check out special year-end lease deals across the entire lineup of Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. Save big on Ford, America's best-selling brand. Not available on Mustang Shelby GT350, F-150 Raptor, Focus RS, Ford GT. Taking retail delivery from dealer stock by 11/30/2016. Sales claim based on 2015 calendar year sales.
When you shop at Stein Mart, you may feel like yelling, touchdown, and doing your very own end zone dance. That's because Stein Mart offers amazing designer brands and all the latest trends up to 60% off department store prices every day. We're not keeping score, but we're pretty sure you win with every visit and every purchase. With 6 locations right here in Jacksonville, Stein Mart is supported by a very loyal fan base. We're also a proud sponsor of the Jaguars Women's Club. So you could say we're fans of the fans. Go Jags!
Hey Jags fans, Coach Gus Bradley here. Nothing quite matches the excitement of leading our team onto EverBank Field, and now game day could start with you through the EverBank on the Prowl sweepstakes. For each Jags home game, one lucky fan will win tickets, pregame sideline access, and the opportunity to lead our team as they take the field. To enter and for official rules, go to everbank.com/prowl. That's everbank.com/prowl and enter today. No purchase necessary. EverBank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
To enjoy a perfectly crafted 1893 from the makers of Pepsi Cola, you must first appreciate its carefully selected ingredients. A dash of cola nut extract, a hint of real sugar, a splash of sparkling water, and an attractive spokesperson. Trust me, I'm gorgeous. Cheers to 1893 Boldly Blended Colas, a delicious balancing act of premium ingredients from the makers of Pepsi Cola.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
This week's Jags-Broncos game is brought to you by SunPass Prepaid Toll Program. Visit sunpass.com. Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach, and let's keep it with the Buffalo Bills game. Great job by the defense in this ball game in the first half. So LeSean McCoy, arguably the best running back in the National Football League, was a non-factor. Tyrod Taylor's legs were a non-factor.
Yeah, I thought we came out with great energy. The defense, I think, set the tone right from the start. We understood they wanted to run the ball as efficiently as they have in past games. And we made an emphasis on that with our guys as well. Tackling was a big priority for us on the perimeter, inside. But some challenging run fits, like we talked about last week. It's an unconventional offense. I thought we came out very strong, especially in the first half.
7 active defensive linemen going into this game because of injuries. And I thought they played very well up front.
They did. We rotated quite a few guys, too. You know, we tried to keep guys fresh. We knew that it was important with the speed that they had to have guys fresh that could run and keep speed on the field. So we rotated quite a few, did a good job.
LeSean McCoy had the first touch in the second half, went 75 yards, had an opportunity, two guys right there. Doesn't happen. But if you took that out, which, you know, you can't take it out, but if you did, I mean, other than that, he had 18 carries for 28 yards.
Yeah, you're right. You can't take it out. That's part of the game. And, you know, I think that's the part where, you know, he's going to make players. I mean, did you go against Barry Sanders?
Yeah. In fact, one of my fingers is a result of Barry Sanders, and it didn't turn out so well for me, Gus.
Well, you know what? I think you've seen that when DBs come up. I mean, he's going to make some people miss, and LeSean McCoy, he's the same guy. You know, so even if you have, you know, normally in that spot, and on a dead side tight end, the way our scheme is set up, we have one guy there. And we felt like this could be, you know, an issue because that's very difficult. And we've seen two people miss. So we changed our scheme, had two people. And give him credit, Shady. I mean, he's very talented, made a couple guys miss, and we didn't have anybody to overlap.
Is he the Barry Sanders, the modern day version of Barry Sanders in the league?
Well, I don't know. It's always hard to compare. They're different styles. But as far as making people miss, in close quarters and in the open field, he's pretty dynamic.
That explosive play obviously went for a touchdown. The 62-yarder of Sammy Watkins, Jalen Ramsey, I mean, he was right there. Kind of wanted to get his head back around, but it was a little too late to track the ball. So as a cornerback, what's the teaching part of that play for a young cornerback, whether it be Jalen Ramsey or anybody else that's in that situation, because you're right there. Does the cornerback need to make a decision earlier, get your head back around, or to watch the arms of the wide receiver?
I think that, without getting too much into it, first of all, they're both talented players, and Sammy made a great play. He hesitated a little bit, sped up at the very end, and did a crafty thing. But, you know, the corner's taught to always stay on top. But you see a lot of back shoulder fades. You see some comebacks, and corners want to compete through every play, every route that you see. So that was, you know, I thought Jalen was in pretty good position. They just made a good play, and the style that we play, our pass defense has jumped up dramatically. You know, 20 some spots I think over since last year. But with that, there's going to be some times you're going to give me one-on-one and some shots, and they're going to make some plays. Hopefully, we make more than they do.
Tyrod Taylor, mobile quarterback, hard to bring down, legitimate 4-4 guy. You guys were able to get 5 sacks. Yannick Ngakoue got 1. He's got 6 on the year, 1 more, and he's going to tie Tony Brackens for the Jaguars' rookie sack record.
You know what? He's playing very hard. I think, you know, along with a lot of guys on defense, but I think his, you know, he's had some effort plays, you know, and his sacks have all come primarily with a couple different styles that he's had. So he's only going to get better, Logs. I mean, once he develops more of a weaponry to use on game day, you know, a bright future for him.
Malik Jackson, 2 sacks in the ball game. Maybe the most impressive one was when he dropped back into the linebacker area, I guess, to play a little zone coverage, and then comes up and runs down Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, to make a tackle like that in the open field is tough, but to be over 300 pounds and make a tackle like that in the open field. So, you know, Malik, like we said, we can't say it enough. As a defense, our staff thinks so highly of him, the players. He has come in and done a very good job in the inside, not only, you know, in his playing ability, but also in his leadership.
Well, it has to be frustrating, you know, because you didn't get any takeaways, but you had takeaways. You know, you had one of them that was ruled for progress was stopped, the Telvin Smith fumble, and then you had the interference on Prince Amukamara, which Deshaun Gibson intercepted that ball. But I thought that was a good call. I thought Prince grabbed him as he was trying to get up the field. But it's got to be disappointing. You don't get a takeaway, but at the same token, you had 2, but it didn't work.
Right. You know what? And you just keep the players believing. When you see the ball come out, and, you know, like we did, we had another opportunity where we saw it come out, you know, that wasn't, you know, they did a good job getting back on it. So there was a couple opportunities there for us, and that's what we see as a defense, where we see those opportunities showing up, and we know they're going to come our way. We just got to keep going after that ball.
How difficult is a game like that against the Buffalo Bills? Because, you know, when you talk about conventional offenses in the National Football League, usually there's some carryover. But there's no carryover from any team in the National Football League to the style of offense that the Buffalo Bills plays, because isn't it kind of like going back and playing a college team?
It is. You know, and that's why you'd like to have more days to prepare for them. And that's why they're averaging 160 yards rushing, you know, one of the top teams in the league now rushing the ball. And it is unconventional. So to put the time in, that's why I felt like for our guys on that, you know, that time frame to go up their opponent that we haven't seen run that style of an offense, you know, especially in the first half, did some really good things versus the run.
Your defense now number 6 overall in the National Football League and yards allowed number 3 against the pass. But the one area you want to get better at, 7 takeaways. That's bottom of the league. But, I mean, the numbers that you guys are – I guess you go back to last year. Where were you guys ranked last year, 24th?
Yeah, I know it was something like that. You know, it's I think 24th in total defense. So, yeah, I mean, really good progress right there. So credit to the players. They've really bought into it. We were just talking about that the other day in our 7-on-7, just to see 10 plays that was really crisp. And you don't see teams at this stage getting better. And that's what we really challenged our team. We need to continue to get better. And the way they're playing, the way they're flying around, it's a good sign. We're playing good, solid pass defense with I know we made quite a bit of a jump as far as sacks last week. But when we start getting even more pressure on the quarterback, I think even more turnovers will come our way.
Tell me about Miles Jack, because, you know, watching him in this past game, Dan Scudder was out, had the back injury. And so he had to play extensively, and it's a game that he's going to play extensively because of the style of offense that the Buffalo Bills run. I thought he played very well.
He did. I would say this with Miles Jack. He's going to be a very talented player, very talented. He knows our Mike. He knows Will. He knows Otto. He knows to play those three positions. The Otto probably is the one that's a little bit out of the comfort level for him, but you're seeing his skill set. He's playing strong. He got tremendous speed on the perimeter, so when he does get in the open field, you're seeing that. So I think the arrow's really up for him.
All right, we will take some calls tonight. If you'd like to get in, 904-355-6351 or outside the call-in area, 1-800-355-NFL1. Let's take a break right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And this segment is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Logman with the head coach. And this week, Gus, the defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos coming into town. And they're not at the top of their division, but they're a really good football team, and it's going to be a great challenge.
It is a great challenge. Like you said, defending Super Bowl champs coming into our house. You know, we got a lot of respect for them. They're playing very well defensively, very talented players. And offensively as well, I think they got a good combination, you know, how they work it. The offense, their philosophy goes hand-in-hand with their defense.
Wade Phillips, longtime coach in the National Football League. He's leading the way for that number 4-ranked Denver Bronco defense, number 1 against the pass, number 1 in sacks, 35 sacks on the season, and number 1 in the National Football League with points off of takeaways. Out of those 20 takeaways, they've scored 93 points. That's an impressive number.
Yeah, you know, anytime your defense can put points on the board for you and score, you know, we always tell our defense you're defined by your ability to get the ball and score. And, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to get the ball more and turn those opportunities for turnovers into touchdowns. But they've been doing it now for a couple of years now. They're very talented, very experienced group that have played really well together.
Von Miller. Do I need to say anything more?
He's so talented. I was asked earlier about, you know, is he the best player in the league? And it's hard. You know, we always try not to compare, but – man, I don't know. He's pretty talented. I know he's caught our attention, and you know, as far as game planning, and you just always have to know where he is, and you have to be aware of him. And they do a good job. They rush him, they drop him, so you're not quite sure where he's going to be. But you always have to have awareness for him.
Here's for the listeners. He's in his 6th season, still a very young player. 4-time Pro Bowler, 72.5 career sacks, and he's in his 6th year. 17 career forced fumbles. He was the Super Bowl MVP, and right now he is currently the sacks leader in the National Football League with 12.5. Did you watch the game Sunday night when we got back from Buffalo?
I watched some of it. I didn't watch it a lot, but, I, you know, obviously we watched it on tape, you know, the copy that we get. But, Yeah, I mean,
you didn't watch it live though. Maybe
no.
A little piece of it.
But yeah,
I watched it live, and I usually don't stay up. I mean, it's kind of past my bedtime when the games get late. That might have been one of the best games that I've watched all year. When you want to watch two outside linebackers play a football game, to watch him and Justin Houston in that game, I think it was combined 20 tackles, 6 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. These two guys were unreal.
They were. Now, I saw that part of it, you know, obviously watching the game. But, they're so dynamic. With Von Miller, it's not only that, and this guy can come off the edge and he can get a sack, and you got to make sure you're aware of that. It's sack cause fumble. You know, he can make the big play. And, that's where you talk about a game-changing type plays. That's what Von Miller can do.
Well, you sack cause fumble. He did it in the Super Bowl. Malik Jackson recovers, for a touchdown, right?
Right.
I mean, that's kind of what happened. Is it dangerous to put too much attention on Von Miller because of the other guys that they have?
Well, it is, you know, because they are talented up front. So I think, you know, you're just building awareness. As far as a quarterback going into the game, I think he just goes through his routine. He goes through his steps. He goes, you know, if it's one hitch or two hitch or, you know, and as far as his release and the style of throws that we want. But I think as an offensive coordinator, it's important that you set up the scheme appropriately for who we're facing. But then after that, you say, all right, now let's go execute. Let's go run our offense and let's go to work.
Because on the other side of him is DeMarcus Ware. Great career. He's got 3 sacks now. He's missed some games with a back. 137.5 career sacks. He needs one more to pass, and here's some names for you. Richard Dent and John Randall. And if he gets 2, he will actually tie an active player. Have any idea who that might be?
Is it Freeney?
Nope. Who? Julius Peppers.
Oh, yeah.
Julius Peppers has 139.5 career sacks.
I did hear that the other day. One of our coaches was talking about his career. And, Peppers, I mean, I know when I was at Tampa Bay going against him, just how talented he is. But, yeah, they're talented on the perimeter. Then they get a guy like Ray.
Shane Ray, drafted first
him.
Round pick last year.
Right. You know, and they'll move him, and all of a sudden he'll be on the inside, so they get 3 dynamic pass rushers, and the other one's not too bad either. So, and they come in waves. You know, they'll have that group, and then they'll have another group come out there. And, you know, that's really how you can operate if you can, and you develop your guys. You saw that with us in the Buffalo game. You know, we had Sheldon Day out there. We had other guys out there trying to build that, we have 2 deep because you can be that much more effective as pass rushers.
And Derek Wolfe in the middle, 5.5 sacks, defensive tackle. I mean, for a defensive tackle, that's a really good number.
Yeah, you know, and then Crick, too. They got Crick. They picked him up. So, they made a strong, an unbelievable level of interest in their defensive line. They know how important that is for them because it's important on the back end. When you have that up front going, you get a chance not only to get turnovers but to score like you mentioned earlier. And they know with the solid offense that they want to play, that's so important.
Well, the guys in the back end are pretty good. We'll save that for the other side of the break, and we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show, and where we'll talk about Aqib Talib and Chris Harris right after this, right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
This week's Jags-Broncos game is brought to you by SunPass Prepaid Toll Program. Visit sunpass.com. Welcome back, Jeff Logan, the head coach Gus Bradley. And to look at the back end of the Denver Broncos, Gus, Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., both guys have been in the Pro Bowl for the last 2 years. And then they have, as their nickel guy, a first-round pick.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier this week. When you watch these and you put time watching these guys on the perimeter, just how talented they are. They've got good speed. They're as far as recognition, they understand formations. And, you know, hey, the teams will condense you to expand you. They understand that principle. And they'll sit on routes and they'll try to make big plays. So we call them, you know, we tell our guys, you got to recognize opportunities and then get greedy. There's greedy ops out there, but you got to study tape to find out which ones they are. And you can tell by watching these guys, they're looking for greedy ops. And again, those turnovers are key for them.
And the guy was talking about the nickelback Bradley Roby. I think he's was a first round pick out of Ohio State.
Yeah, they're across the board. Their whole secondary now.
TJ Ward.
Yeah, I mean their whole back end. They just play very well together, and I think they challenge each other. You know, who's going to make more plays? Very competitive. I know I was with Aqib in Tampa for a short period of time, and just seeing how he operated in practice, how aggressive he was, I know that's really filtered through the rest of that unit.
And the other guy, Darian Stewart, just got a long-term contract extension. He's the free safety in the other one with T.J. Ward.
Right, and he's strong. I mean, big striker. Multiple talent back there. They'll play base now, Logs. They'll play base to, three wides. They'll line up and go about it that way. So, it's challenging that way to run the ball as well. It's like they force you to try to think to pass the ball against them.
All right, let's flip it over to the other side. Gary Kubiak with a defense like he's got and young quarterbacks. And Trevor Siemian started, 10 games for them this year, and then Paxton Lynch, their first-round pick out of Memphis, I believe. Yes, mm-hmm. Memphis. Started one game against the Atlanta Falcons. So when you got a defense like he's got and you have young quarterbacks, whoever's playing, then running the football is probably very comfortable to do.
Well, yeah, and when you run the ball, you can score points because when you run the ball, you would think, well, no, the only way you score points is getting explosive passes and making big plays. Well, that's accurate, and majority of those explosive passes come because you're running the ball, and it forces the defense to attack it, and then play passes operate like that. So, and that's really how they generate their offense. I think they're averaging around 100 yards rushing. Now, ideally, in their world, they'd like to have even better rushing stats, but they got two guys in the perimeter that are forcing you to make a decision. Are you going to really try to defend the run, or are you going to try to keep safeties back to help handle those two guys?
Well, you talk about they'd like to run the ball better. As a football team, they're only averaging 3.6 yards a carry. Part of that has to be because their original starting running back, C.J. Anderson, is on injured reserve. He had a meniscus on his knee, and they've had to play a rookie, fourth-round pick out of Utah, Devontae Booker. And I don't want to criticize the guy, but C.J. Anderson's a heck of a football player, and Devontae Booker, I'm sure at some point, will be a really good football player, but he's a rookie.
Well, we like Booker coming out. I know we watched him quite a bit this year in the draft rooms and as far as one of the backs. And sometimes those backs, it just takes some time. The more and more he plays, the more he gets accustomed to this zone scheme. And I know they do such a good job of running that style of offense that he'll get a feel for it. We just can't let him get going this weekend. Can't let him get any confidence.
Trevor Siemian, seventh-round pick last year for the Broncos. If he were to play this weekend, which he has not practiced yesterday and today for the Denver Broncos, it would be his 11th career start. He's 7-3. Missed a game earlier this year. He was injured against Tampa Bay. Did not play against the Atlanta Falcons. Watching him on Sunday night, his numbers were dramatic. I mean, might have been probably second best career game, maybe his best career game, the one he got earlier in the year. The numbers were very similar, but he won, so I would say that one was the best. This one's the second best game.
Right. I thought they've really done a nice job bringing him along. I know earlier in the year they started off and they were talking about the number of passes he threw downfield, and it wasn't that high of a number. But now you see him taking a little bit more shots. He's extending plays. He's using ability with his legs. And, you saw it against Kansas City where he made a play, coming back against the grain, and, the defensive guys were chasing him, but made a nice play on the run, threw a nice pass. So you can just tell his comfort level, his confidence in that scheme is building. So, we'll see what takes place on Sunday, if he can play or not.
Well, as a coach, how do you, when you prepare for the week, and he hasn't practiced for 2 days, young player, and Paxton Lynch has played one game all year long, do you just prepare for the offense and look at it as whoever plays, we're going to get the same thing?
Well, it's not like a completely different style of offense with each quarterback in the game. It's not like Michael Vick and then Drew Brees on the same team. You'd say, okay, what are we going to see with these two guys? They're very similar. They are different, though. They have some different strengths. Paxton's got a strong arm, big, tall player. You would think that he wouldn't be very mobile, but he is. He can, he'll extend plays. But we're anticipating seeing a similar style of offense.
And the guys on the outside are pretty good. Demaryius Thomas. His numbers are unbelievable. four consecutive seasons. And now this is with quarterbacks. You had Peyton Manning for a little while, but then Peyton Manning wasn't at his game last year. They had, what, three or four quarterbacks play last year for them. And in the last 4 years, 90-plus receptions and 1,300-plus yards in each of those four seasons. Demaryius Thomas, heck of a player.
Yeah, he is. You know, and, you know, they got some he's got some size to him. Big, tall receiver with some strength. You know, they got two receivers with over 60 receptions each. And, you know, they're putting up good numbers. So, you know, and that's challenging sometimes with a first-year quarterback like they're having. You know, they're going to have to be patient and let him learn his ways. But, you know, their numbers are picking up and they're making some – it's like they take turns sometimes in games.
Well, and Emmanuel Sanders is the other guy. And since he's gone to the Denver Broncos from the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's been over 1,000 yards for every year that he's been there too. So – you know, I know that in the past you've taken Jalen Ramsey and kind of flipped him. Is this one of those games where you, well, I don't know if we want to do that. We just might let him play one side.
Yeah, what would you do, Logs?
Me? I'd like to see Jalen against Demaryius Thomas just because of the size.
Right. You know? Well, you know, we'll see what takes place. You know, I think, you know, both Prince and Jalen are playing pretty good football on the perimeter for us. So, you know, I think they each have their own strengths. So we'll see how it goes. But we feel confident in those guys. But you're right. They are very talented on the perimeter. And they have opportunities to turn explosive plays into touchdowns.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. If you'd like to get in, 904-355-6351 or outside the call-in area, 1-800-355-NFL1. More with the Gus Bradley Show right after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show, and we'll take a few phone calls here in just a second, but let's take a look at the injury report. Gus, you know, a couple weeks ago we were talking about how healthy your football team was, and boy, how things have changed. You had five guys, Rashad Green, Allen Hurns, Chris Ivory, Jared Otter, Julius Thomas, that did not participate in yesterday's practice or today's practice. Is this kind of a concern getting to game day to where – you know, are we going to have enough guys that we can dress?
Well, first of all, practice is everything to us, so to have everybody available at practice is big. But we understand there's going to be weeks where you don't have anybody. And then the next concern is to say, okay, if we don't have them for practice, what do we do to ensure that we have them on game day? And so, yeah, there's a couple of those guys on that list that, you know, we might have to wait till Saturday or game day to work them out to see where they're at. And, you know, the challenge is for them is to pick up the game plan. They've had enough experience in our system, so hopefully they can do that. But there's nothing better than practicing, you know, especially in game week.
The one guy that I was anxiously looking forward to was Yannick Ngakoue. Came out of the game with an ankle injury, didn't practice yesterday, limited today, so that's an upgrade.
Yeah, you know what? He's, you know, he'll battle through it. You know, these guys, it's amazing how much better they can get in a couple days. And with him, his mindset, I know he wants to play more than anything. So that combination is good. You know, hopefully it's a quick recovery to where he can be effective on game day.
I'd want to play too. You know, if the right tackle issues, you know, continue to be a problem for the Denver Broncos, I'd like to play over there on the left side, you know, if
well,
I was a young player.
I think that these guys, they love playing the game, and that's what, you know, Dave and I were talking about. When you got guys that love the game and they want to get on that field and play, and then we're back at home. You know, we haven't been home lately, so to have a couple games like that is good.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and let's bring up Eric in Mandarin. Good evening, Eric.
Good evening, Jeff. Good evening, Gus.
Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Hope you both had a great Thanksgiving holiday. I had one quick comment and two questions that I'll take off the air. The first is that first drive was beautifully executed. I envisioned that coming from our offense at least 75-80% of the time this season. Hopefully that'll continue as the season progresses. The two questions I had revolve around the running out of the shotgun, running a running play, you know, third and short. You know, if you have third and one, third and two, immediately it becomes third and seven. So I was just getting, you know, some feedback on that, why you guys decided to do that so much. And the next question I have revolves around Tashaun Gibson. Has he, you know, met your expectations, exceeded expectations? What's your opinion on him as being, you know, the most recent free agent? Thank you, guys.
Okay, this is all good. I'm glad I wrote it down, Log, so I can remember. Okay, the first drive, I agree. To be able to come out, get the ball in that environment. I remember we're on the road in a hostile environment. This is a team that's, you know, have an opportunity to, you know, they need to win to keep their playoff run going in that division. So, you know, to be able to get the ball and go down there and mix it up, and the way we've got the third down conversions, I think we converted 3 third downs in that drive.
I think so.
I think it was so, you know, and to finish it off, I think that was very good, and you're right. That's how we're all hoping. That's how we all see it taking place. As far as running out of the shotgun, you know, third and one primarily in the NFL, you'll see some teams run the ball. But once it gets to third and two, I mean, it might as well be third and eight for most teams in the NFL. They just see that as a passing down probably 75-80% of the time. So, you know, depending on the team you're playing, we're trying to change it up, give some runs out of the shotgun and try to be effective there. Just keep teams off balance to try and limit some of their pressures. And then T. Gipp, I think T. Gipp, the first part of this season was understanding our defense. He's single safety. He's playing back there. And what it took to be effective in that, I think there's a point in time where he wanted to be more involved. You saw him become more involved with pressures that we were operating, not only in base downs but in nickel. But now I would say in the last 2 weeks now, he has really had a good feel. The interception, the so-called interception that didn't get called in the play, was a great job of covering ground. The last couple of days in practice has made very, very good plays. So I've been really impressed with him, especially lately, in understanding our package.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We'll come back and talk about the Broncos injury report. Very important information there because it involves their quarterback, and we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show. Right after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. And let's take a look at the Denver Broncos injury report with head coach Gus Bradley. And Gus, Trevor Siemian did not practice 2 days in a row. And I'm sure you've already gone back and looked at Paxton Lynch. And I know we've talked about similarities, game plan probably be the same. What were your thoughts on Paxton Lynch? Did you guys evaluate him coming out?
We did. You know, he was at Memphis and a different style of quarterback, but very strong arm, you know, tall. I'm trying to think how tall is he. What
6'7".
Is it?
6'7".
Yeah, I was going to say 6'6", 6'7".
Let me double check that.
You know, he's just – I think we look at just the style of throws and the types of throws he makes and the strength of his arm. I mentioned before on shows, timing, accuracy, decision-making. I know that the experience he had in the Atlanta game, generally guys can grow from one game and do some good things or at least build confidence once they play that one game.
I don't know how many prospects that Memphis puts out, but I remember when I played in the blue-gray all-star game going all the way back to that would have been 1988. My roommate was an outside linebacker from Memphis, and I don't remember his name.
Wow.
My experience with Memphis University.
Never forget old what's his name, huh, Lux?
Was that bad?
No.
Is that bad? Is that a sign of age?
No.
I think that's just a sign of a lot of years have passed.
Yeah, that's right, Lux. I mean, you've come in contact with so many people, it'd be hard to remember everybody.
Well, the other than that, I mean, the Broncos, they got a long snapper on the list. They've got a fullback, Andy Janovich, who's a rookie. Their center, Matt Paradis. Did I say that right, Paradis?
Yeah. Paradis is good now. You know, I know their fullback, too, they put on IR. So, you know, we look for, you know, maybe a little bit more two tight end sets. But, yeah, Paradis has done a good job for him. I know he's a guy that maybe they'll hold out of practice some. And, you know, because he's so valuable to him. But
he plays the game kind of like a wrestler from watching him on film.
Well, Rick Dennison, the offensive coordinator, has been a longtime offensive line coach. He's got a lot of respect from multiple coaches around the league, including myself and our staff. So he does a good job developing those guys, and you're seeing them, you know, as far as their zone scheme work really efficiently.
All right, well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Tyson Alualu, a little – North Dakota State, big game this week. And we'll wrap up the Virginia Cavaliers season, highly disappointed. And we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome. Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Last segment here before J.P. Shadrick takes the helm for Jaguars Thursday locally here in Jacksonville. And, Gus, one guy has been very impressive, I thought, the last couple weeks. And in particular, there was a play that stood out in my mind. We talked about Miles Jack playing pretty well. And Miles Jack playing the auto position, he was on the line of scrimmage. He attacks a pulling guard and really stands him up, sets the edge, and right inside of him is Tyson Alualu being blocked by the tight end, Nick O'Leary. And he just throws him aside, makes the tackle. Tyson Alualu has really found a home at that strong side defensive end for you guys, and he's playing very well.
He is. It's funny you mentioned him because we were talking about him off the air. And just, you know, what he went through where he was inactive for a couple of games there, became active, and didn't miss a beat. And you're right, he is playing at a high level. He is a guy that comes to work every week and puts in a full day's work, and the guys really appreciate him. And it's so cool to see it show up on Sunday.
He's a pretty quiet guy. What's the longest conversation you've had with him?
Tyson and I, we just had a conversation. Well, I was doing the majority
of,
the talking, yeah.
Well, you have a tendency to do that anyway.
Well, he's such a quality person. You know, you talk about
guy.
A guy that, you know, this team really endures, and he's great in that defensive line meeting room.
All right, let's start with the bad. The Virginia Cavaliers finished 2-10 after getting hammered by the Hokies, Virginia Tech 52-10. Tough year for Bronco Mendenhall. The North Dakota State Bison, 10-1, only lost South Dakota State, 17-19. That was back in October. They've got a big game this Saturday in Fargo against San Diego, 2:30 kickoff on ESPN3.
You know what? That'll be a big game. I mean, everybody's excited, you know, once it gets to playoff time. And San Diego, I've had a chance to meet their coach, and they've done a good job. That's where Coach Harbaugh started and really got it going at San Diego.
All right, so question for you. Since it's FCS, does San Diego have to bus all the way to Fargo?
Come on, Logs. Not during the playoffs, at least, huh? The NCAA.
Regular season, they might.
No. I know they'll fly, but no, they take care of them pretty good during the playoffs.
All right, thank you, Gus. Best of luck this week.
Okay, thank you.